I stood up here this morning, both in the announcements and before I got up ready to preach, I was looking around and could see familiar faces, and I want to say thank you to the Sunset congregation for making us feel welcome and faces that are beginning to look familiar. I look around and I see people I know now and friends and think what a blessing it is to be a part of the Sunset family, and we are enjoying being here. And let me just say next week, this is our last Sunday of Be Jesus series, and next week we won't start a new series, but we're going to talk a little bit about the church. I'm going to be speaking about things that you can expect in the Sunset congregation, and I'm excited about this lesson. I hope you'll be praying about it. We'll look to affirm some elders next week and possibly put in a couple of new ones, and next Sunday is going to be a great Sunday. I want to share with you today a story about Zacchaeus, who you know as the wee little man. And I thought about that this week, and I thought, where did the word wee come from in that? You know, it's like my friend Billy McGuigan wrote that song or something. He always uses the word we in everything he says, being from Scotland. And it's a story that many of us grew up hearing all of our lives, and yet it is so rich with biblical truths for Jesus, for Zacchaeus, and for us. And I love the story of Zacchaeus, and I wanted, what a great way to finish out a series about being Jesus than the story of Zacchaeus. So if you have your Bible and want to turn, we'll be in Luke 19. I would always rather you open your Bible and look at it there, but I did put the text on the board for you if you want to look there. But let's read a little bit about our story and about a man by the name of Zacchaeus. Luke 19, verse 1, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Remember those two words, passing through. That's going to be a key point in a minute. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector. There's something that you may not know, but did you know the word chief tax collector is nowhere else found? At least I couldn't find. There's nowhere else found that someone is called a chief tax collector. Obviously, he is not just a tax collector, but he's over some other tax collectors as well. And if you'll notice the end of verse 2, he was wealthy. All tax collectors were. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short and he could not see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately, because I'm going to your house." You're singing that little song, those who grew up, right? "I'm going to your house today." A couple of key things that makes me kind of grin a little bit when I think about this. Nobody has told Jesus Zacchaeus is in a tree. Nobody's told Jesus Zacchaeus is looking for you. It just so happened that Jesus is looking for Zacchaeus because Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And Jesus walks right up to the tree where Zacchaeus is. And can you imagine, if you were Zacchaeus, you kind of just want to see Jesus. Doesn't say he came there to meet him or to invite him home, just to see him. And can you imagine Zacchaeus in the tree looking and going, wow, he's getting closer and closer. And he's like coming over to the tree where I am. And can you imagine the nervousness of Zacchaeus as Jesus looks up and calls him by name? Nobody, you know, we don't know that somebody said, "Hey, that's Zacchaeus in the tree." He calls him by name and says, "Zacchaeus, come down." I love that. You and I'd have done the same thing. We'd have been nervous. We'd have fell out of the tree if he'd have walked up and called us by name. "Hey, come down from there. I'm coming to your house today." So look at what takes place. Verse 6. So immediately he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "Jesus has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Lord, look, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to your house, because this man too is a son of Abraham." Verse 10, one of those classic verses everyone should know about Jesus. Jesus says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Why did Jesus see Zacchaeus? Because he came to seek and to save the lost. Why does Jesus see you? Because he came to seek and to save the lost. What an amazing story. So there's four things in the first two verses you learn about Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector, and he was wealthy, and he wanted to see Jesus. And he was short. How you like all those things, all right? And so those were the four things we learned about Zacchaeus. What it doesn't tell you about Zacchaeus is Zacchaeus probably was not a very popular guy in Jericho or with the people for a lot of reasons. One, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. No one likes tax collectors, right? And so people who have money, if you're wealthy, the wealthy people didn't like Zacchaeus because he took their money. If you were poor, he's also wealthy, and so the poor people didn't like him. You say, well, he was a Jew. The Jews would have liked him. He's working for the Romans, taking taxes. And the Romans didn't like him because he's a Jew. Zacchaeus probably didn't have a lot of friends. He wasn't very popular. In fact, people there probably wondered, why is Zacchaeus here today? Who invited the tax collector to come see Jesus? But Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. And I love that about Zacchaeus. When you seek, you find. And Zacchaeus wanted to seek Jesus. We'll talk more about that in a minute, but I want to throw this out there for a second. I too want to see Jesus. I would love, if I knew Jesus was coming to Lubbock, Texas, I'd be there. I'd be there early. I'd have all my family there, my kids there. You would be there. If you had to climb a tree, you'd climb a tree. You'd do whatever it took to get people to see Jesus. But if we're looking at this from points in this lesson, the first thing that I want you to catch is you can still see Jesus. You can still see Jesus. He's all around us. The first thing that you need to catch this morning is that he's walking through. You remember that phrase? Jesus was walking through Jericho. Jesus is still walking through your world. You just actually have to look for him to see him. You got to be intentional to see him or hear him. He's there. Psalm 19. I love Psalm 19. It says that when you look at trees and flowers, when you hear birds sing, when you see nature, when you see the sunrise, when you see the sunset, you're seeing God, you're seeing Jesus. Let me read this to you. Psalm 19, verse 1, write this down. The heavens declare the glories of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech and they use no words. No sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out through all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. You know what David is writing when he writes Psalm 19? He goes, if you'll just look around, you'll see him. He's everywhere. He's in that newborn baby that you saw recently. He's just everywhere. My house in Childress, Texas, the patio doors faced east, and I watch the sun come up every morning because I'm an early riser, and so many mornings that bright orange would come and I would look out and I'd go, good morning, Lord, because it was as if God was going, I'm here. It was as if Jesus was going, hey, if you'll just look, I'm right over here. There's a creator that created that. It's absolutely incredible, but you got to look to see it. The birds, you know, if I ask you this morning, nobody ever sets out and goes, I'm going to go outside today and listen to the birds. But you know they sing all the time. I actually stopped on my way in this morning before I came in the building and stopped and listened and thought, yep, there they are. I heard one. But had I not listened, I would have never caught it. And yet Jesus is in the song of a bird because I can know that God created. He created those things with the beautiful. I was in Amherst, Texas the other day. That is where my family, my mom and her siblings grew up. And I've done a lot of funerals in Amherst, Texas. Most of my family is buried in Amherst, Texas. And I was there the other day for a cousin who was buried. I wasn't the speaker, but all in my head I was thinking about was how much sadness there has been in this little acre of cemetery in my family. How many tears have been shed. I've done multiple funerals there. My mom's buried. I looked at her grave. My dad that I barely knew passed when I was about 4 years old. I stood there. My Uncle Bob that was a huge influence in my life. And his wife, Frida, two of the godliest people I know. My cousin, Roy, their son, who really kind of encouraged me and pushed me toward ministry and preaching. I did his service, and he was there as well. And all this sadness, and as I was sitting there thinking about, wow, is God even in a sad place like this? I wasn't paying attention to the guy that was speaking, that was doing the funeral service, and I was just listening, thinking, you know, is God here? And all of a sudden, a metal lark over here on my right sung. And one answered him over here on my left. And it was as if Jesus was going, yeah, I'm here. I'm everywhere. You just got to look. You got to listen. You will see Jesus in people. You will see Jesus in creation. You will see everywhere. The other morning, I took some friends, my family, to the airport to catch a flight. And there was a lady on the side of the road with a flat right outside the airport. And I thought, I'm going to check on her when I come back by and see if she needs anything. And when I did, she said, nope, there's a nice man that has stopped to help me this morning. And he said, I got this. And he had her tire just about changed. And I thought, somebody was being Jesus today. We had an elder not long ago that stopped in the middle of 19th Street with all the traffic going both directions because he saw a man in the middle of the street leaning over a dog who had obviously been hurt, and he got out, parked his truck, went out in the middle of 19th Street and said, can I help you? He said, my dog has fallen out of my pickup and I need to get him to a vet. And he helped him get his dog into the back of his pickup and say, is there anything else you need? And I thought, that's being Jesus right there. You can see Jesus in people. This past week, a big group of Ames students had their last chapel. And they all got together at the front, and everybody came up and prayed for them. Those Ames students are getting ready to go out into the mission field all over the world. And I thought, there's Jesus among a bunch of Ames students going out to preach the gospel to the world. Every time I open my Bible, between every line, there is Jesus going, I'm here. The problem is we get so caught up in the activities of life. We get so busy in kids' activities. We get so busy in life itself. We have headphones in our ears, and we have music going, and TVs going, and computers and phones. Sometimes you don't see him, you don't hear him because you're distracted. And you just got to stop like I did this morning and go, hey, before I go in, I'm just going to stop and listen for a minute. Yep, there's the birds. We've got to be people who are intentional at realizing that Jesus is still walking through our world and we simply need to look for him. Now, if you really, really, really want to see Jesus, can I also say this? This is the second thing that I want you to catch. Your desire to see him has got to be greater than your pride and your and other people's opinions. Meaning, there are times that you may be put in an uncomfortable situation in order to see Jesus, just like Zacchaeus was. I don't know if you've ever caught on to the story, but Zacchaeus had to move outside his comfort zone to see Jesus. Verse 4, there is a key word in verse 4 of Luke 19 that I don't know if you've ever caught before, but it is just a huge word. It's a three-letter word, and it says, verse 4, and Zacchaeus ran. You go, what's the big deal? It was a very, very culture faux pas. Jews in that time did not run. Look it up. For a man to run would have been an embarrassing thing. To show off his legs to run and to climb a tree like a kid would have been humiliating. People going, look at that guy running. Look at him. What is he doing? If you want to see Jesus sometimes you have to take a chance of being embarrassed. You gotta move past your pride. It's carrying your Bible into a coffee shop because you need to read your Bible and people are going to see it. It's carrying your Bible into a restaurant or school knowing that people may see it, but you want to read your Bible. It's praying in a restaurant knowing that somebody may look at you and go, why are they praying in a restaurant? If you want to see Jesus, sometimes it takes getting past your pride. It takes getting past your comfort also. Here was Zacchaeus, and he climbed a tree. I thought that was pretty interesting. That's not easy to do. I made a deal a few years ago. I'm done climbing trees when I nearly fell out trying to prune one and said, if it doesn't include a ladder, I'm not doing it anymore. But here was Zacchaeus who said, I'm willing to climb a tree to see Jesus. He wasn't worried about his comfort. He wasn't worried about scraping his knees. He was worried about seeing Jesus. And sometimes your comfort needs to be trumped by your willingness to say, but I want to see Jesus. And that may mean you have to get up 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes early in the morning. You may have set your alarm because you want to see Jesus and get up that morning and read your Bible. That may mean that morning you need to get up early and you're going to set your phone over on a different place, not where you're reading your Bible, so you're not tempted to look at your phone and see what kind of notifications that you've got. Your comfort's not as important as seeing Jesus. Make an effort. Be intentional. Zacchaeus was intentional. Sometimes you ask people, they say, oh, I would love to see Jesus. And you go, how's your Bible reading? You know what they say? Eh, not very good. And it's like, well, he's right there. You just got to open it. I would really like to see Jesus. How's your prayer life? Well, I hadn't been doing a lot of praying lately. You're going to have to put forth some effort if you want to see Jesus. And your desire to see him is going to have to be more important than your pride or what other people think. Think about this for a second, what other people think. Can you imagine the crowd that day when Zacchaeus showed up? They know who he is. They're not a big fan of Zacchaeus. If you're the mayor of Jericho, you're going, what is he doing here? I don't want Jesus to think that we're full of people like Zacchaeus. Can somebody please go move him out of the way? Or when he climbed the tree, I can just see people standing around going, oh my goodness, if Jesus sees him, he's going to think we're a whole bunch of people just like that. Or when Jesus walks up and says, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree, you know the other people are going, what is going on? Jesus is going to get him. That's what they're thinking. He's going to pull him out of that tree, and he's going to say, don't be like this man here if you want to be righteous. But Jesus didn't do any of those things. And what Zacchaeus did was he wasn't worried about what other people thought. He wasn't worried about other people's opinions. Only thing he was worried about was, I want to see Jesus. My friend Harley, that was baptized right up here a few weeks ago, she called and she said, would you baptize me? And I said, Harley, I said, you know that you can be baptized in Childress, right? She didn't grow up going to church and may not know everything. I said, it doesn't matter who baptizes you or where, as long as you're baptized, you need to be baptized. And she said, I know it doesn't matter, and I know people could baptize me here in Childress, but she said, you baptize my dad, and I want you to baptize me. And I said, come on. And I said, do you want to do this on a Sunday afternoon when it's just us and your family? And she said, well, I'd like to, but she said, the only time I have is Sunday morning because of some previous commitments. I said, so you're okay being baptized in front of everybody else? And she said, yeah, it doesn't matter. I just want to meet Jesus. Those doors opened, and I started talking, and Harley looked up, and she said, there's a lot. I said, there is, but you know what? They're all on your side, and they're all rooting for you this morning. And I asked her later, I said, did that make you nervous? Are you okay? And she said, oh, I was a little nervous. But she said, only thing that mattered was I wanted to meet Jesus. I wanted to connect with Jesus in baptism, and I thought, that's what it looks like. Zacchaeus found Jesus, and Jesus found him. It wasn't a fluke. It wasn't an accidental circumstance where they just bumped into one another. Zacchaeus found Jesus. Salvation has come to your home, it says. The Bible tells you, if you seek, you will find. If you want to find Jesus, you got to seek him. If you want to find peace, seek peace and you'll find it. If you want to find forgiveness, seek forgiveness and you'll find it. If you want to find moving past your past, if you'll seek it, you'll get there. At the same time, can I remind you, if you want to find being offended, you'll be offended. If you want to find something to gripe about, you'll find something to gripe about. Whatever it is, you're going to seek what you find. So can I remind you to seek what is good? Now, in this story, there's another character that I want to tell you about for a second. A fourth character. Now, in your head, if you grew up hearing the story of Zacchaeus, you're going, all right, there's Zacchaeus, there's Jesus, there's the crowd, who's the other character? It wasn't until a couple of years ago, I'm reading through this story, and I realized there's a fourth character in this story that sometimes we overlook, and he's really a major player in this story. You ready for this? The story or the character is the sycamore tree. And can I just remind you for a second, if you've already been Jesus and you found salvation, I mean, if you've already been Zacchaeus and you found salvation, now, you know what your job is next? You're to play the role of the sycamore tree. You go, well, what did the sycamore tree do? He lifted up Zacchaeus so that Zacchaeus could see Jesus. That's what the sycamore tree did. I find it interesting that the Bible, that Luke doesn't write and say, Zacchaeus climbed something. It doesn't say Zacchaeus worked his way around to get to where he could see Jesus. It doesn't even say Zacchaeus got up in a tree. It specifically says a sycamore tree, as if to say this was important. A tree is so important because it gives you a different perspective. I grew up in a home that had a large pecan tree in the backyard. I was not a fan of the pecan tree because generally we had to pick up the pecans. My dad would make me at times, or my mom. We'd have to rake leaves. But the best thing about the pecan tree was you could climb the pecan tree. And me and my little brother would climb that tree, and you could go, wow, you could go way up there. And there were times that mom would come out and she'd go, you guys are too high, come down. But when we got to the top of the pecan tree, you know what we had? We had a different view, a different perspective of everything around my house. We could see things we didn't even know existed around our house. We could see things with a new vision. We get up at the top and we would point out, Bruce, look, it's the fire department. We always can hear the fire trucks right there, the fire department, because you could see it from the top of the pecan tree. And the park where we love to go play, you could see it from the top of the pecan tree. You got a new perspective. Without the tree, that new perspective would have been impossible. So when you look at the story of Zacchaeus, and I remember back the flannel graphs back in when I was a little kid going to Bible class, and you'd have the flannel graph Jesus and the flannel graph short Zacchaeus, and you'd have the tree on there. I never realized the tree was such an important character in the story. The sycamore tree is you and I. We're supposed to be the tree. We can't give people salvation, but we can point people to where it's at. Our job is to lift others above the crowd so they can see the approaching Jesus. That's your job, and that's my job. Jesus wants you and I to create an environment to where people look and go, I see Jesus in you. To bring people to Jesus, to point people to Jesus. If I were to ask you this morning, name three famous apostles, you would go, without a doubt, Peter, James, and John. But did you know without Andrew being a tree in the life of Peter, there might not have been Peter, Andrew, and John? Does that make sense? It was Andrew that went and found Peter and said, hey, I think I found the Messiah. Come back and meet him. He was a sycamore tree. Remember the woman at the well that met Jesus and then left her valuable water pot and everything else to go back into town to a place where she was, had a reputation? But she went back into town to say, hey, y'all have to come out and meet the man who has told me everything I've done. This may be the Messiah. She was being a sycamore tree. She was pointing people to Jesus. You and I don't have to be the Savior. We can't save people. We can't always fix their problems. But what you and I can do is we can lift people up where they can see Jesus through us. My goal and your goal is to help people say, I see Jesus. I came to a funeral here probably 5 years, 6 years ago to one of the faculty at SIBI that was very special to me. And when I left, before I went back to Childress, I stopped at a McDonald's. I'd taken off my jacket, and I went in to get coffee for the trip home. I had on navy pants, black shoes, a white shirt, and I think a red tie. I didn't realize it, but when I came in, I actually had on the same outfit the manager was wearing. I was standing in line, and a woman comes up to me and says, did you know that the ice machine is out, sir? And for about half a second, I thought, why are you telling me this? And then it hit me. And I said, I'll see what I can do. And I stepped out, and I walked up to the front, and I said, hey, there's not any ice in the ice machine. Didn't think anything of it. Went back and got in line. She said, thanks. A few minutes later, another person came up carrying a burger and said, I asked for no onions on this, and there's onions on my burger. And I said, if you'll go up to the front and just tell them, I bet you they'll get you another burger. Didn't say a word. By this time, the manager at McDonald's, he's realized what's happened, that somebody's come up thinking that I work at McDonald's. And I get to the front, I order my coffee, and it rings up 52 cents. And I said, I don't think you charged me enough. And she said, the manager said to give you an employee discount today. I like 52-cent coffee, I'll be honest with you. But I was dressed in such a way that day that people just automatically took me as somebody, hey, this is a guy that worked here. Wouldn't it be great if we lived our lives in such a way that people just walked up to us at some point and said, hey, can I ask you a question about Jesus? Can I ask you a question about, hey, I'm having some struggles in my life. Can I ask you about this? We need to live our lives in such a way that people just automatically go, hey, this person must be a Jesus person. And if you're not living that way, you're not doing something right. Because if sometime or another, if somebody ever says, wait, you go to church, you're doing something wrong. People should not be surprised when you say, I'm a Jesus follower. We should live in such a way that we lift people up where they can see Jesus through us. I have a friend named Megan Carter. I want to tell you about her just really quick as we're kind of winding this down. We're almost done, I promise. About a year ago, Megan called and said, can I come talk to you? My mom has passed away a few months ago, and I'm just kind of lost. I'm in a lost place right now. And I said, sure. She lived in a community about 30 miles. I said, it's 30 miles away. You up for this? She said, absolutely. So Megan came over, and we sat across the table, and we talked a little bit about life and about the loss of her mom and how that had affected her, her kids who keep asking, where's Nana, her husband, her dad, who is just lost right now without his wife. And then we prayed. We spent time praying together. And then she said, can I come back next week? And I said, absolutely, come on. She came back next week. And she came back the next week. And then she came back the next week. And she said, I just feel like God has put you in my life for a reason. I think so. I told her, I said, I think so. I said, Megan, have you ever thought about coming over one Sunday to church? I know it's a long drive, but we'd love to have you. I said, you can sit in the balcony. I said, that's a great place for first-time visitors because you just kind of hide out up there. You can sneak in, sneak out. Come on. She said, well, I think the only two people that might come was my two kids. And I said, just come. I looked up the following Sunday, and there was Megan and her son and her daughter sitting in the balcony. It just so happened that Sunday, my sermon happened to be that I was preaching on how God is with us during storms. When I visited with her later that week, she said, did you plan that sermon for me? And I said, no, ma'am. I said, God did, but I didn't. She said, it spoke to me, and we loved being there. She said, can I come back next week? I said, sure. And she started coming, and she started coming. And then she said, I would love my dad to come, but I can't quite get him going on it. And I'd love my husband to come, and I can't quite get him going on it. And she said, and I think I want to be baptized. And I said, I think that's probably something you need to be doing right now. She said, it's just on my heart. And I said, come on. This picture right here is just after her baptism. She was so excited to be baptized, she forgot to take her socks off before going into the baptistry. She gets in the baptistry and she whispers and says, I forgot to take off my socks. And I said, it's okay. It'll still work. She was so excited. So excited. The next week she said, I just want to be a good influence on my husband. I want to be a good influence on my dad. Let's pray about them coming to church. And my sister. About a week later, her sister came with her, and I told her, I said, you did well. You got your sister here. And I said, yes. She said, yeah, that's one. I'm still working on the others. In December, her sister took this picture right here with all of them in church together. That's Megan in the red. Her sister's taking the picture. They're still going to church. They're in Childress. That's her dad closest to the camera, her two kids and her husband in the back. Megan has been a tree in her family. She said, I'm going to go to church no matter what anybody else thinks or what anybody else does, but I'm going to go every week, and if you want to come, you come go with me. And she's influenced her family. She's been a light in her family and such a great influence on them. Lee and I love her faith. So the question that I need to ask you this morning, are you the crowd or are you the tree in the lives of other people? In the story of Zacchaeus, you're one of those two things. There are people looking for Jesus every day that you come into contact with. They're looking for Jesus, and you're either the crowd or you're the tree. If you're the crowd, you're the one that just doesn't really pay attention and you don't give any room for Jesus in your life. You've blocked the view. Maybe you're thinking, hey, they're not interested in Jesus. Maybe you're like the crowd that saw Zacchaeus and thought, hey, he needs to get his life cleaned up before he can ever see Jesus. That's not how Jesus works. Jesus says, you just bring me all your stuff and we'll fix it. They made no room for Jesus. And then on the other end of the story is the tree. The tree did just the opposite of the crowd. The tree lifted Zacchaeus up where Zacchaeus could see Jesus. You've heard over the past 8-10 weeks that we have talked about being Jesus. We've talked about being compassionate like Jesus and loving like Jesus and serving like Jesus. Last week, Bill talked about praying like Jesus. And while this is the end of the series, it's not the end of becoming like Jesus. I want to encourage you to be more like Jesus every day. And today, I want to encourage you to be the sycamore tree, to lift others up. Leave here today and go out into the mission field. You go, where's that at? As soon as you leave these doors, when you go eat at a restaurant today, you're in the mission field. When you go to work tomorrow, you're in the mission field. You go out in the community of Lubbock and you be the sycamore tree and you lift other people up where they can see Jesus, because that is your job and my job. Point people to Jesus. We're going to sing an invitation song at this time, and this morning, if we can pray for you in any way, we would love to do that. You can come to the front during this invitation song. If you're ready to put on Christ in baptism and confess Him as Lord, if you're Zacchaeus going, I just want to be connected to Jesus, this is a great day to do it. If you have a need that we can help you with, would you come as we stand and sing this song?